Thinking where to go now. It's not the fact that he just saves us. The fact of the matter is, he don't just save us and leave us. And that's why I want to talk to somebody today. He didn't bring you this far. Just to turn around. Shoot, I'm preaching myself happy. Remember this? It might look dark. And it might look dreary. But always keep in mind that his name is Jesus. And the name means that he will come and save me. But not only will he save you, it also means that he will, come on with me, baby. Not only will he save you, but he'll stay with you. Through many dangers, trials.
We here at Christian Love Baptist Church would like to invite you to our Christian Love Family Life Center, located 3515 Hudson Boulevard, next door to the Christian Love Baptist Church. You're welcome to join our fitness center with state-of-the-art equipment. Need a place for a wedding reception, family reunion, or conference space? Well, look no further than the Christian Love Family Life Center. We can meet all your needs with the latest audio and video equipment. For more information, contact Miss Patsy at 318-709-8116. Or Miss Linda Johnson at 770-371-3466.
Mahler Furniture, a community institution, always providing excellent value at affordable prices. All furniture, bedding, and accessories at amazing value. Interest-free financing. Layaways also available while you're waiting for that tax refund. Remember, you didn't buy it from Mahler, you paid too much. Mahler Furniture is a proud community sponsor, 98 Bolton Avenue.
When you experience the loss of a loved one and you need to select a funeral home, Robinson Family Mortuary is that funeral home. Robinson Family Mortuary is locally owned and operated in the city of Pineville, Louisiana. Robinson Family Mortuary serves the entire community of central Louisiana and surrounding parishes, including Natchitoches, Avoyelles, Grant, Wynn, Allen, and throughout the entire state. Robinson Family Mortuary is staffed with over 40 years of tender loving care and experience. Robinson Family Mortuary offers cremation, floral arrangements, headstones, and catering for your repast. For information regarding any of our services, please feel free to contact Dolores or Tyrone at 318-442-7300. That's 318-442-7300. Robinson Family Mortuary. A family serving families.
Robinson Family Mortuary is now located at 1815 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana. Hours of operation are from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Robinson Family Mortuary, a proud sponsor of this program.
Southern Heritage Bank is Central Louisiana's family of banks that provide that personal service in a corporate environment. Southern Heritage Bank is located 5211 Jackson Street. You can phone them at 318-561-2227. Southern Heritage Bank has a full range of services that are available, such as online banking, freedom checking, 24-hour bank line. You can phone 1-800-992-7059. And we are an equal housing lender. Southern Heritage Bank promises prompt services without unnecessary hassle. Come in. Let us service your banking needs. Again, that all-important phone number is 318-561-2227.
Thank you for tuning in for today's message with Reverend Larry R. Turner. If you would like a copy of today's message, you can contact the church office at 318-443-8715 to purchase a CD for only a $7 donation. Always remember, it's worth a trip to come and visit Christian Love Baptist Church, 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to Live Big Ministries, where Harry Cooper Jr. is pastor and spirit coach. We are located at 2840 Hollywood Avenue. We live in victory every day, believing in God. If you're interested in joining us in worship, we worship every Sunday at 10:30. Bible study Tuesday at 6:30. and Wednesday at noon. We have a mentoring program. If you're interested in mentoring young people, at Warner Park Elementary School on Thursdays at 12:30. Here at Hollywood, we believe that the loving is oh so good, so we're reaching out to the Shreveport community and the overall Louisiana community with a message of love, a message of hope, a message of encouragement. Listen now to a recent broadcast by Hollywood Presbyterian Church and Live Big Ministries, where Harry Cooper is pastor.
Is there anyone here who has ever been caught in a storm? You were in a storm and everything around you, you couldn't see very far, nothing you seemed to do, your windshield wipers didn't work as fast, your umbrella did not hold or keep you dry, because not only was it raining, but the wind was blowing, and as it blew, you were just getting drenched. Anybody here familiar with a storm? If you can imagine, the scenario that this text is written in is speaking of a physical storm, a geophysical storm in which the atmosphere has begun to rain and the winds have begun to blow. And these are certain types of storms, and many of us have been in that physical storm. But just as some of us, and most of us, have seen physical storms, many of us have also seen emotional storms. In our emotional storms, those are the highs and the lows that we feel. It seems as though in our emotions, we can't keep everything bottled up. We want to keep everything bottled up. We, as Paul Lawrence Dunbar says, we wear the mask that grins and sighs. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile, with torn and bleeding hearts, we smile. And many of us like to be on that track. We don't want anybody to know that we are hurting. We don't want anyone to know that we might require a little bit of assistance in our mental approach to life, or our spiritual approach to life, or even our emotional approach to life. We want to be hard and strong, but when you are hard and strong and the winds keep blowing and the waves keep beating against you, somebody here has fell into their pillow exhausted from trying. I deposit that there may be someone here who has become so frustrated that they don't know what to do. You throw your hands up in the air and just say, why, God? How long will this last? How tough is it going to be? God, what are you even there? I don't know about you, but sometimes when the storms of life are raging, it seems like your prayers may not be going any further than the ceiling of the roof that you are in. Seems like you are being suppressed and depressed and distressed because of the storms in your life. Somebody may be going through a financial storm. Your money is funny and your change is strange, and you're less than a half a paycheck away from absolute almost poverty. If you're about to miss a payment, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's a struggle. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes you wonder how you keep from going under. You're doing the best you can, but the best you can doesn't seem like it is enough. It is a financial storm. One moment you get the brakes fixed on the car. The moment you get the brakes fixed, now the tire goes out. The moment you get some air in the tire, you found out, we're not going to be able to keep the air in the tire. You're going to have to buy a new tire. You've been buying those new tires from the used tire shop for $35. Because they're new to you. I'm talking about myself. Oh, my. That financial storm, you'd love to be able to have the financial flexibility to go on the longest vacations and to sail the seven seas and to fly to your family reunion, but instead of being able to fly to your family reunion, you gotta look at it on Facebook Live, because that's as close as you can get. All right, all It's a storm. And what I am sharing is that many of us face different types of storms in our lives. You face some storms. You're facing some storms. You're in some storms. You may be headed to some storms. But let's just take a moment to pause and let me ask this question. Where are you? Now, I realize that instinctively, if I say, where are you? You instinctively might say, I'm at Hollywood Presbyterian Church, 2840 Hollywood Avenue. I'm at Hollywood where the loving is also good. Live Big Ministries because I'm living in victory every day, believing in God. Instinctively, you might give an address of where you are. But if I ask you to go a little bit deeper, I might say, are you really here? Are you here yet? Now, see, this requires us to go a little bit deeper in our understanding of who we are, because I believe that there may be some people whose bodies I see, but your mind is on the other side of town. Your mind, you might be sitting here in the pews, you might be listening on the radio, but your mind is somewhere else. You're still trying to figure out how you're going to make the bills pay. You're figuring out your budget right now. I mean, pastor's preaching, and that may be really good, but I'm trying to work on my budget right now. Right now, you're trying to figure out, you may be thinking, your mind is wandering a little bit because your stomach starts to growl a little bit because it's almost time for lunchtime, and you're trying to say, I'm working on eating healthy. What am I going to eat? So you spend as much time thinking about what you're going to eat as you do eating what you're going to eat. Okay, again, I'm just talking about myself. There are times in which I know I'm going to eat healthy. Working on being a vegetarian and then saying I'm going to transition from being a vegetarian to being a vegan, I assure you, you spend a lot of time thinking about food. And no matter how much time I spend thinking about food, I don't get full by thinking. If thinking about food could make me full, my goodness, I'd be all right. But it requires an amount of energy, and sometimes it's just not easy. So sometimes you could be sitting somewhere, but your mind is doing a thousand things. It is very difficult. If I were to say right now, we're just going to sit here and be still and become present, I don't know how long it would take some of us to become present. It's a challenge. Because it's going to be a challenge when you go home, when you leave this place. This becoming present, it takes a tremendous amount of practice. Because we're not accustomed to being present. We're accustomed at times, we become and have become accustomed to being reactionary and not proactive. So when I were to say, let's just be still and quiet, think about when was the last time you heard absolute quiet? Or when was the last time, if it wasn't absolutely quiet, when was the last time you actually were able to hear the sound of the air conditioner or hear the sounds of the birds chirping outside? And I mean here, become present with the chirping of the birds. To do that requires energy and effort. Here becomes a challenge that each one of us are encouraged to do. Make sure you find a way to become present. In asking where are you, when the storms of life are raging in your life, you become very present when your life is on the line. If right now I started poking you with a pen, you would become very present in the pain that you were feeling. Everything else would cease. I mean, you couldn't hear or see anything else because your body and your mind would sink in one to say, I must stop this pain. So herein lies the understanding that we have the ability to focus. We have the opportunity to focus, but we don't always maximize those opportunities. So when saying, where are you? We would oftentimes say, well, I'm where I am, but we're not necessarily where we say we are. Now, as your minds are here, you can only reach there from here. You cannot reach there. Wherever the there is, wherever it is that you are aspiring to go, whatever it is that you are aspiring to do, you cannot get there from anywhere but here. And therefore, here and now is the best space, place, and time that you can be. And when you are here, fully here, you become aware that you are never alone. Yahweh is an ever-present help in our time of trouble. When you're in the midst of your trouble, when you're in the midst of your storm, when everything is wrecked all around you, God is an ever-present help even then. And it is only when we're able to be still enough to be aware that God is in our midst that we can have a peace in the midst of the storm. See, it is possible to have peace when the storms are happening. It's possible to have peace when your children are acting crazy and being lazy. It is possible to have peace when everything around you is tore up from the floor up. Why? Because you know that you are connected with the divine creator. Everyone has a different path. Different ancestors, different influences. Everyone in this room has come to this place, come here from somewhere else. Everyone, none of us have been on the same path. None of us have had the exact same life experiences. So all of us are bringing together collectively all of our life experiences. Everyone that you have ever met, every word that someone has ever spoken to you, every thought that you have ever had, every idea, every concept, every dream, every wish, every want, everything that you have ever experienced is with you right now. You are the composite of all of your life experiences. Yes, the good and the bad, the happy times and the sad times. We are all here together bringing with us everything that we have ever experienced, and everything that you have experienced in the past has prepared you and to get to here. Now, someone said, you know, but Pastor, some of the stuff that I have been through, you wouldn't want to even know about. It is too painful for me to even talk about. I don't want anybody to know. I'm ashamed that I've had to pass. I've gone on this path. I'm ashamed. I don't want anybody to know that these things have happened to me. I don't want you to know how many negative thoughts I have had or how many things that people have done to me. I don't even want to repeat those things. That's all right, because guess what? You're still here. Everything that anybody may have said or done to you in the past that has broken you, that has torn you down, that has deflated your sense of self, every teacher that said you cannot learn, every teacher that said, let me help you because I don't think you can help yourself, every time that you built a level of resilience so that you could fight back, everything that you have ever experienced, has it prepared you to be here now? And nothing has happened in the past that kept you from getting here. Oh, now somebody might say, "Oh, that is a reason to have a shouting moment, a shouting moment." I know somebody said, "Well, you know, Pastor, I'm a little bit too in that." That shouting thing, that's way too emotional for me. I mean, let them do that at the church down the street. They can do that over there. You know, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm Presbyterian. Well, I'm just letting you know that Pentecostal or Presbyterian, it don't make a difference. When the Spirit of the Lord starts rising up inside of you, when you start thinking back over all the things that God has brought you from, and you think about all the things that God brought you through, and all the things that God could have allowed to happen to you, when you start counting your blessings and not your stressing, then all of a sudden your hallelujahs become a little bit happier. Your joy becomes a little bit greater. You'll be able to just, whoo, I'm just going to shout a little bit. Why? Because I'm thinking about how good my God has been. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, when I think about how God has protected me, how God has kept me, how God has fed me when I was hungry, how God has been a companion when I was lonely, when I think about these things, then I just become overwhelmed with gratitude. See, an attitude of gratitude doesn't worry about who's sitting next to you. That attitude of gratitude doesn't make a difference who's going to call somebody else on the phone and say, girl, did you see her shouting today? Well, if you had been through what I went through, you'd have shouted too. The struggles that you have been through have helped to develop your stamina. The struggles you have been through gives us a testimony for all of our tests. Somebody here today could stand up and talk about the dark nights that they didn't think that they could make it. Somebody knows what it's like to toss and turn all night long. Somebody here knows what it's like to try to find relief any way that you could possibly find it. Somebody here knows what it's like to try to find relief in the bottle, bottomless of Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and Hennessy. Somebody here, oh yes, I know, I can call the roll. Somebody here knows what it is like to pop enough pills because you got to get one so you can have enough energy to wake up in the morning. You got to get another one so you can go to bed and sleep at night. Then you have to have one in the middle of the day just to smooth things out just a little bit. Somebody knows what it is like to try to find peace any way you can find it. You tried and you said, I'm going to practice serial monogamy. I need to break that one down. Y'all got that. Serial monogamy. I got this guy today, this guy tomorrow, this guy tomorrow, this guy tomorrow. It's in a series. I'm faithful to the one I'm with today. I'm just saying what it is, because there is the overwhelming sense when you can become sexually active with multiple partners in the midst of your sexuality, you start forgetting about the pain that you're in. It becomes an expression of your pain and not any sense of joy or connectivity with the person that you're with. You're in it for you. Somebody here may have tried education. You see, you have to buttress yourself against all the negativity of the world, so you're going to get as educated as you possibly can. You're going to go to school and learn as much as you can, because in your mind you're going to say, you ain't going to never say I'm dumb. I'm never going to feel dumb or stupid in anybody's midst, and so I'm going to fight that by getting as educated as I can. But let me share with you, you may have a whole lot on the wall, but that don't mean you got nothing on the ball. It requires the ability to take your information and process it and be able to live through the information so that it can become alive and well inside of you. You see, all I'm saying is we all got some different roads that we've taken to get here. And that's all right. Because no matter what road you took to get here, no matter what road you have taken to get where you are still here. And that's the thank God moment. You are still here. In our text, we talked about reading and we read, and the backstory is Paul is on a ship and they're trying to take him to Rome. And in the going from where he is to Rome, he's on a ship, and this ship has been caught up in a multiple series of storms. Every week they come here, boom, storm rises, they gotta dock. Another time, storm rises, they gotta dock. Now this time they're on the sea and the choppy waters, and they have been going in choppy waters for 14 days. It has been so fierce, so fierce. The winds have been blowing so hard that they haven't even had time to think about eating. Think about it. How you gonna eat when the ship is going like this all day long? You can't hardly eat. You're not thinking about eating. All you're thinking about is living. And after a period of time, you start thinking about dying. And somebody might have thought about that. Somebody, I mean, I would love to say, oh, yeah, and I know you'd love for not me not to know that people have suicidal ideation. You like to say, oh, no, never thought about that in my life. And maybe you didn't. Praise God if that's you. But there are many people who you would never think about it, or never think they thought about it, who have actually thought about it. Getting older, less mobile. And they said to themselves, I don't want to be a... Oh, I know somebody was tracking with me. Lord, I don't ever want to be a burden to anybody. And so as you begin to face the reality that you're never going to be the person you used to be, you might not ever wake up without snap, crackle, and pop anymore. You might not ever be able to run half marathons or do leap tall buildings in a single bound anymore. You might not never get back to where you were. And you begin to realize that some people will become so consumed with what they don't have and what they have lost that they will forget to worship and praise God for what they have left. I don't want to be a burden. Well, guess what? You may call it a burden, but the person you might be burdening will call it a blessing, because your burden is their job. You're saying, I'm burdening somebody, but you might be blessing them, because even if the person that you are blessing is your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter, the fact is you're giving them a reason and a purpose every day of their life, and part of their purpose is taking care of somebody else, and taking care of somebody else is never a burden. It's always a blessing. Why? Because we got a God who has done the exact same thing, who saw us in distress, who saw us in the midst of our mess, who knew we were broken and messed up, jacked up, toe up from the floor up, and said, I'm going to send my son to go reach them where they are so I can take them where they can be. Now, was that a burden? That became a blessing. Our stressing became a blessing because we have a God who knows all about us and entered into our lives to reach us. So the story goes that they become shipwrecked. And the captain of the ship says, get there. If you know how to swim, then swim. But if you don't know how to swim, grab on to the broken pieces of this broken boat. Now, you might say, if I become shipwrecked, that's a messed up situation. But oh, had they not been shipwrecked, had the boat not broken up and you couldn't swim, you'd never get to the shore. You see, sometimes God can take that which was meant to burden you, or you might think was going to burden you, and use it for a blessing. It is the broken pieces that got those who could not swim to the shoreline. And what I'm saying today is this, that you might not get there running, you might not get there leaping, you might not have gotten here being the prince or the princess of all, but you are here, and here is where you can go to anywhere else. You can't get anywhere else until you realize that you are here, until you realize that here, and when you are here, God is here, and God is in our midst, and you are in the midst of God. And when you are in the midst of God, you can have your hallelujah moments. Oh yes, it might not look good. You might still be broke in the morning. I'm not passing out money. So you ain't gonna have no more money when you get home than you had when you got here. Oh, wait a minute. Oh no. Why? Because on your way home, God can bless you. Somebody missed that. On your way home, you don't know how God can bless you. But if you don't even think it, you don't open up your mind and your consciousness, then you're going to get stuck in the rut of who you have been as opposed to who you can be. But when you release yourself, you see, you begin to see that God can open up windows, and when doors close, windows open, and when windows close, then God can tear a hole in the roof. When you are meant in the line of God blessing you, there is nothing you can do to keep God from getting to you. There's nothing. God can get to you no matter who you are, where you are, or what you have done. Oh, yes, or what you have done. Oh, yes, we've done some jacked up stuff. We haven't maximized. We haven't maxed out who we are, who we can be. Yes, we got some stuff we ought to be embarrassed about, but you don't have to stay there. Do you sense that release? The release is you out here and right here, right now. There is not a problem in your life right now. Right this second, there is not a problem. The only problem is if you start bringing the not yet into your right now. Now you start figuring some other stuff out down the road, but God has already given you everything you needed to survive, everything. And so instead of thinking about what you still got to do, what you still need, what you still want in your life, just take a moment and glorify God for what you have right now. The fact that you are still here. You might have some broken pieces in your life, but that's all right, because you can arrive on
broken pieces. When God says, I got you, God's got you. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest threat to your spirit faith journey is not anybody else. It is you. Your inner me is the inner you. Yes. Your inner me becomes your enemy. But when you release yourself of your enemy, that inside, that part of you that is so, oh my gosh, there's so much potential. There's so much productivity. There's so much that we are. There's so much that we are. As you are right now, as you are right this minute, there's so much value in you that Jesus said, when you were at your worst, drunk, sloppy drunk, the nights you don't remember. Yeah, I'm not looking at nobody.